If you have your Bibles with you today, hope you do, turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Matthew and Luke are the ones who give us the Christmas story. Mark skips it. I've told you this before. And John's story starts in the heavens. And today, the main character is not Mary, rather Joseph. And we find these words in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. These words, look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him to do. He took her, Mary, as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the word of God for us, the people of God, for which we can say, thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious God, open our hearts, our minds to what you want to say to us today. A powerful word from the Gospel of Matthew that reminds us that God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Bless us. Let us hear from you today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It's been said that if you want to make God laugh, tell him what your plans are. If you want to make God chuckle, even smile, perhaps laugh out loud, tell him what you are planning to do. It seems that God would like to have a little say-so in your life, right? So we tend to go to God with options. God, should I move to Mobile or Minnesota? Options. Should I retire or should I work a little longer? Options, right? Should I get married? Is she the one? Options. Should I be a preacher or a teacher? Should I be a lawyer, a coach, electrician? Should I work at the hospital or at the factory? If you're willing to do it, if you're willing to ask these questions of God, the possibilities are endless. If you're thinking about college, where do I go? I know, Ole Miss. Or the University of Arkansas, or UCA, or ASU. Is it time for kids? Is it time for a house? Now, let me tell you, going to God with options is very different than going to God with an open mind and an open heart. Amen? Are y'all with me today? What does God want you to do with your life? What is God's will for you? That's an important question, and it's very hard to know. Right? Right. This morning, we're continuing our It's a Wonderful Life sermon series. Last week, we started with George Bailey, really a panoramic view of Bedford Falls, and most of the first scene of the movie is up in the heavens where George Bailey's friends and family are praying for him. And I hope that you went home last week with this message from the movie and this message from the church, is that it is important that we pray for one another, right? It made a difference in George Bailey's life. It made a difference in his family's life. And I believe all those on our prayer list, it makes a difference in their lives. That's what I hope you went home with last week. Today, I wanted to look at a second scene in the movie. Actually, this scene lasts about half of the movie. We'll dig deeper into it today. George's life was like before Christmas Eve, 1946. You have to wonder, did George Bailey ever ask God, "What do you want me to do with my life?" I don't think so. His brother was coming home on the train, you remember? And he says, "There are three wonderful sounds." He asked his Uncle Billy, "What are the three most exciting sounds?" You remember what Billy said? He said, "Breakfast is served, lunch is served, dinner is served." But for George Bailey, those three great sounds were anchor, chains, plane motors, and train whistles. Just after the high school dance, George says to Mary these words, "I know what I'm going to do tomorrow, and the next day, and the next year, and the year after that. I'm shaking the dust of this crummy little town off my feet, and I'm going to see the world. Italy, Greece, the Parthenon, the Colosseum. Then I'm going to go to college to see what they know. And then I'm going to build things. I'm going to build airfields and skyscrapers 100 feet tall and bridges a mile long." George Bailey had a plan for his life. It did not include Bedford Falls. It did not include home. A little earlier in the movie, there's a tender scene at the dinner table. George is there with his father, Peter Bailey. It's just the two of them when Peter asks his son, George, if he would consider coming back after college and after his trip to work for him at the Bailey Brothers Building and Loan once he graduates. George has no interest in that. If you've seen the movie, you know that George never takes the trip to Europe. He never goes to college. That night, that same night which I just described, his father, Peter Bailey, has a stroke and he dies. Unless George Bailey stays, the building and loan will dissolve and we'll all go to old man Potter, right? So he gives his college money to his brother Harry, and Harry goes off to college. And I can't say that George Bailey ever settled down, because I don't think he ever settled down to the end of the movie, but he got married and he had four kids, and on Christmas Eve, 1946, he had a faith crisis, an emergency of sorts. George may have had a wonderful life, but he also had a dashed dream. I'm wondering, have you ever had a dashed dream? Something that you thought was going to happen, something that you wanted to do, maybe that's happened to you too. Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, had a plan. You might even say that he had a dream that he had with his eyes wide open. Sometimes we call that a vision. But it all changed when Mary came in and offered three words to him. Not, "I love you," but, "I am pregnant." It was before they were married. A marriage that was likely arranged between Mary's father and George's father. It would have been a 2-year process, their engagement. Somewhere along the way, Joseph fell in love with Mary. It wasn't just an arrangement. He had real feelings for her. Their vows would have been 2 years in the making. In that first year, Mary would have lived in her father's house. And in the second year, she would have moved into Joseph's house. But I want you to hear this. Their betrothal meant that they were legally bound together already. While Mary is still in her father's house, she says to Joseph, I am pregnant. Now, if their engagement were in modern times, you know what you would have gotten in the mail? A save the date card. You would have gotten an invitation. The church would have been reserved. The preacher would have been asked. The venue would have been reserved. The napkins with the little M's and the little J's on them would have been ordered. All would have been ready. And Joseph's dream would have been a long marriage with Mary. Maybe children one day, a son for sure, a daughter also to help in the carpentry business. And that's when Mary comes in with the news, I'm pregnant. And what she offers seems kind of crazy. It's going to be the Messiah of the world, the Savior of the world. God is doing this, and Joseph is having a hard time swallowing all that, right? The lesson says today that Joseph was a righteous man. Do you know what that means? He was a righteous man. It means that every time he had a decision to make, he tried to make the right decision based on his prayer life and what he read in the scriptures. He tried to follow all the rules and have all the expectations. And he prayed and he asked God, what am I supposed to do? Joseph is a righteous man, but I also think that he is a compassionate man. Right? He saw two options. Option number one was to dismiss her quietly, to let her go, and later, when people asked, he just kind of shrugged it off. That's one option. Option number two was to get on Facebook or go to the coffee house or go to wherever we go in this town and let everybody know what Mary had done. But Joseph won't do that. He loves her. So he resolves to do the first of the two. But God has a different plan. So in his sleep, Joseph has a dream. And an angel appears. And the angel says, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Are y'all with me this morning? Mm-hmm. Joseph had a plan. God had a better one. Amen? God had a better plan, and I'm thankful for it. God used Joseph in his plan. And I'm just wondering this morning, is it possible that God could use you too? Go back with me to the movie, It's a Wonderful Life. I love this movie. Don't you love this movie? Yeah, yes. George Bailey, through the guardian angel Clarence, has the ability to see what his life would have been like if he had not been born. You remember that part of the movie, right? Mm-hmm. If George had not been born, Harry Bailey would have died when he was 8 years old. He would have fallen through the ice, and he would have drowned. He would have been killed. If Harry Bailey was killed when he was 8 years old, he could not have saved all the men on the transport during the war. If George Bailey had not been born, Mr. Gower, in his grief as a pharmacist, would have put the wrong things in the pills, and no one would have ever known it, and said George saved him from that. If George Bailey had not been born, Mary, his wife, as the movie tells us, would have never gotten married. And she would not have had her four kids. Bedford Falls would have been an awful place called Pottersville. Ugh. And their dream of people in Bedford Falls of owning their own house would have just been a dream. Clarence says this to George. Strange, isn't it? Each man's life touches so many other lives that when he isn't around, he lives an awfully big hole, doesn't he? Now, what about your life? Maybe you're a lot like George Bailey. You have a plan. You want to go places. You want to see things. You want to build things. You want to hear train whistles and anchor chains and plane motors. We don't hear those things too often anymore, but I can tell you, I lived in Paragould. I heard a train whistle every night, almost every hour. But could it be that you are exactly where God wants you to be this morning, right here in Mountain Home, Arkansas, listening to a sermon about plans for your life? Maybe you're in the job that you are in, affecting the lives that you have through it. Maybe that you are the dad that you are or the mother that you are to your young kids, teaching them the difference between right, wrong, good, and bad. Or if they're adult children, guiding them and making adult decisions, their place in the world. Could it be that God put me right here in this moment in time in Mountain Home and put you in these pews so that we could hear this beautiful anthem and sing these great hymns and hear this message? Could it be that our lives really do matter to those around us? And if we weren't in it, that it'd be an awfully big hole for somebody. God used Joseph in a powerful way. And in the end, don't you know, when Joseph held Jesus for the first time, he looked into the Savior's eyes and said, "So this is what God looks like." Right? Joseph, George Bailey, you and me, our lives matter. And in the end, I think they're wonderful.